Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. Harold gave me instructions to behave, so we will. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. We had 27 in Sunday school this morning, and just like to continue to encourage you, if you come and join us for Sunday school. We have classes for all ages, and it'll be a blessing. We have a good time, and we learn a lot about God's Word during Sunday school. So I want to encourage you to come if you can on that. If you're visiting with us or if you have a prayer request, there's an insert in the bulletin. You can just fill that out, put it in the offering plate, or hand it to Brother Tim or one of the deacons, and we'll take care of whatever's on it. January the 22nd, that's tomorrow. The Titus II Women's Ministry at 6:30 p.m. You won't say anything?
Just remember, every lady's welcome, no matter of your age, as long as you're school age and on up. So bring a friend, please. And we can have fun.
And we had the Stand in the Gap Men's Ministry meeting this past Thursday. The next one is scheduled for February the 15th at 7 o'clock here at the church. I encourage all boys, young men, and older men all to, if you can, come and meet with us during that time. We have a good meal, and we also have good teaching and devotions and all, a good time there. Choir practice will start back next week, so put that on your calendar. I think Brother Tim, you wanted to say a couple of things.
Yeah, Ben's doing the start study for the last 3 weeks. Tonight, this morning, we've basically finished that up, but tonight I'm going to apply it to our church. And so I just invite you all to come back tonight. You don't want to miss it, because I think it'll be a challenge for all of us just to do what we've been studying and according to God's Word. But then also, at the end of the service today, you don't have to count your change or anything during the service, but at the end of the service, we're $71 short on our Light of Moon offering. So at the end of the service this morning, I'm just going to ask one of the ushers if you'll have a plate there in the back. And as we go out, don't look to see who put what in there. Just drop your money in. And we know that God will bless that and use it for his kingdom. I just challenge us to meet our goal. Okay?
Any other announcements, y'all? Okay. Any birthdays?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to throw Paula under the bus, but she was pointing at Miss Nellie, so I'm going to let Howard take the
wind off of Paula's hand.
I know. Let Howard take the responsibility of that. But happy birthday, Miss Nellie. Harold, will you come?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Miss Nellie. Let's all sing happy birthday, Miss Nellie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. And I almost started that so high I couldn't sing it. Since you're going to start giving me a note. Woo! I had to tie my shoestring and get there.
Happy birthday.
As we go to our prayer time, please remember the Mark Davis family. He was a classmate of Brother Tim. He passed away
early yesterday
morning. Also remember the Wayman Davis family, no relation to the Mark Davis family. He was a resident at the Wiggum Nursing Home. He passed away, so we want to remember that family. Remember Greg Toole, Tony's son. Tony let us know that he's at home doing better. So that's a blessing there. And the family really appreciates all the prayers, y'all. for Greg and his family and all. So continue to remember him. Also the Jesse Nelson family. Jesse Nelson. Remember him and Wayne Freeman. They are relatives of Larry and Donna. They are not doing very well. So continue to remember them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come today, Lord, just praising your holy name and thanking you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to gather here, Lord, and have this worship service today, Lord. And Lord, we do want to pray for the ones that were mentioned this morning and the others that are on our prayer list, Lord, but specifically these that were mentioned this morning, especially the ones that the Davis's families, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with them and comfort those families today, Lord, and for Greg and Jesse and Wayne, Lord, we lift them up to you today, Lord, to just pray, Lord, that they'll continue to improve, Lord, and their health will get better. Lord, we do just want to take this time, Lord, to come to you and just lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, and lift our entire worship service up to you today, Lord, that we do it in a way, Lord, that brings honor and glory on you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we will just take all the distractions that are going on in our lives away today, Lord, and just focus on Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Carol?
Did you have a good one?
Our opening hymn this morning is Serve the Lord with Gladness. Let's all please stand if you can as we sing, and if you're looking in the hymnals, it'll be on hymn 495. Serve the Lord with gladness. We'll sing all three verses.
Thank you. Thank you. video word and music. Father, I bless the ones you see, Father, and bless them. And Father, let's put the ones on our prayer list and we mentioned today, Father. And Father, let's put Brother Kenzie, bring the message, bring you to the heart and soul. Father, let's step outside these walls and spread your word and give you all. In the Father's name, I pray. Amen. Series that I titled Start. We've been basing that on Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. I want to just quickly quote for you as we move into the last letter in Start. The Lord says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we look at your word once again this morning, God, I pray that you just open our hearts and minds to trust you, Lord, to follow you wherever you would lead us, to go and to do whatever it is that you would ask of us. Lord, I pray that you just have your way in our hearts and lives today, Lord, knowing that for those who do not have a relationship with you, who have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that today needs to be that day, that they put their faith and trust in you, Lord, for their salvation. But Lord, challenge us as well for those of us who have already done that. Lord, to resolve to trust you in every area of our lives, Lord, no matter what it is or what it's about, Lord, I pray that you'd use this time to glorify yourself, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last Sunday we looked at the R, we looked at act and faith first last Sunday morning, and then we said that if we're going to do something, we got to act on it, because a faith that doesn't require actions is not a faith. Because whatever it is that you believe is what you're going to do. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, you're going to wear a Georgia Bulldog shirt, right? If you're a Florida Gator fan, you're not going to wear a Georgia Bulldog shirt. Amen? So the thing is that what you believe, you act upon. But that is also true spiritually, because if we really don't believe, why are we going to act? Now, we shouldn't act, we shouldn't put on a mask, and that's what they call hypocrisy. We shouldn't act in that way, but we should act in a way that matches what we claim to be. And so we need to act in faith, we need to step out on faith, because our faith in God is never going to leave us where we were. It's always going to take us closer to him if we are truly willing to follow. Last Sunday night, we looked at refocus our minds, because so many times in this world, Satan is going to distract you. People are going to distract you. The media is going to, everything and everybody is trying to distract you. Because if you can't focus on Jesus, then you're right where Satan wants you to be. we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I didn't mention this last week, but it just ran through my head. So while it ran through my head, I better catch it by the tail. Think about Peter. Remember Peter's out there on the boat and the waves, wind and all, Jesus comes walking on water. What did Peter say? Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, guess what he was able to do? He was able to walk on water, but the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, he was distracted. And when he became distracted by the pains of the world and the trials and the troubles, he began to sink. And I think that is the same way in our lives. You won't believe how many times I have been told by people in church that, you know, I just feel so good when I come to church on Sundays. Amen? Why don't we come to church more often? If we feel good on Sunday morning, let's come back Sunday night and Wednesday night. Amen? We'll feel three times better at the end of the week. But here's the thing. We need to refocus our lives, and that's what the Bible helps us to do. That's what prayer helps us to do. That's what Thanksgiving helps us to do. Not the meal, but the giving thanks to God for what he has done in our lives. Today we're going to speak on the T, and it stands for trust in God. Now we have I don't know if it's there anymore. I think they've taken In God We Trust off of a lot of our monies, right? Mm-hmm. The newer ones, they've taken it off, or they put Washington where he faces away from it instead of facing towards it. Y'all look at your quarters later. We say it, and we say we believe it, but do we act upon it? With a show of hands, and I'm not going to put you on the spot on the second question. With a show of hands, how many of us would say we trust God for everything in our lives? Anybody? How many of us desire to trust God in everything in our lives? You know, we say that, and I'm going to make this as a blanket statement. But many of us say we trust God with everything in our lives. But I believe it was Billy Graham one time said this. He said, man, humans have to be converted three times. First in their head, second in their heart, and third in their wallet. If you say you trust God with everything in your life, would you be willing to show the church your paycheck stub? Would you be willing to show the church your bank account? Because you don't have to show us. God already knows. And he knows what he's given you, and he knows if and how much of anything you've given back to him. So a lot of times in our lives, we're stuck with a question. I'm not saying this is everybody's problem, because I don't know everything in every detail, and I don't want to know. But the reality of it is, a lot of times we want God to do something new in our lives, and we're not doing what he's already told us to do. And so we become stuck in a rut to where we're like, man, why is this a never-ending cycle? Because if we're not faithful, if we're not acting in faith to do the first things God has told us to do, why in the world is he going to tell us to do anything else? You see, oftentimes what we believe, we act upon. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, you're going to spend your money where? Not on Florida Gator stuff, right? But if you're a Florida Gator fan, you're going to spend it not on the Georgia, but on the Florida stuff. Now, I'm saying that to make a point here. The things we believe in, the things we love, we spend our money on. And I know people say, well, they're always talking about money. Well, can I tell you what? You just watch a commercial for about 2 seconds, and what are they talking about? Money. Everything in life revolves around in our society. Now, as we think about that, we think, and this is a statement I heard a long time ago, and I don't remember who said it, and I haven't took time to look it up. But it says this: people give in proportion to their faith. Whew. People give back to God in proportion of their faith. In other words, the less I trust God, the less I'm going to give. The more I trust Him, the more I'm going to give. And I'm not just talking about money, because that can involve time, talents, and everything else, as we'll look at this morning. As we think about this, I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. As I've already said, the reason why God cannot or will not work new things in some of our lives is because we're not being obedient to Him in all the areas that He's already asked us to be. So that's kind of like your kid. If your kid asks you, can you give them $5 so they can get less, what, $15 to go to the movies now? I don't even know how much it is. Depends on. If they want money to go to the movies, and you say, okay, first you go in there and clean up your room. Sounds like a fair deal, right? I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to give you $15 or however much so you can go see the money. But you're going to have to do your part and go clean up your room. Now, if that child doesn't clean the room, are you going to give them the money? You want to bless them, but sometimes blessings come through obedience. And so there are some covenants that God just simply said, listen, I'm going to give this to you, no strings attached. But there are other covenants that God said, listen, I'm going to do for you, but you've got to obey me. You've got to keep my commandments. You've got to live according to my rules, not your own. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, I want us to look at these carefully. Verse 5 says, trust in who? In you? In me? Trust in the Lord. With part of your heart. With one room of your heart. It says with all of it. That means that's the greatest commandment, was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are to love God above everything else. We are to trust Him above everything else. Because if you don't trust somebody, you can't fully love them, can you? You can't. Love and trust go hand in hand. So you can say, I love God all you want to, but are you trusting Him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. How many of us every day get up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Or do we get up and say, Lord, I sure got a bunch to do today. You just got to help me get through it. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your what? We're going to come back to that. And with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. You see, many of us have forgotten the principal things when it comes to serving God. We just sang a song, Serve the Lord with Gladness. How can you be glad when you know you're stealing from somebody? We're going to talk about that in a minute, too. Serve the Lord with gladness. But see, sometimes we come before the Lord and we've only partly trusted in Him. We are relying on our own understanding, not on His. We do not acknowledge God in our ways, in our lives, other than maybe on Sunday mornings or possibly Sunday nights or Wednesday nights every now and then. We think we can do everything on our own. Amen. We don't need God until we get in trouble. I wonder why that is. We don't want to go where God is leading us. We just play wherever He leads, I'll go. And we sing it with our lips, but do we truly mean it with our hearts? Oftentimes, verse 7, we are wise in our own eyes. We stand on the fence, and this is probably most of our problems. We stand on the fence, and we're trying to hang on to the world and trying to hang on to God at the same time. Can I tell you, by default, you're disobedient to God, because God doesn't want you standing on the fence. He wants you fully committed. Remember what Jesus said, whoever it puts their hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for where? For the kingdom of heaven. He said, listen, I want you all in, not partway, not halfway, but fully committed, fully following me, fully obedient to me, because partial obedience is total disobedience. Y'all need me to say that again? Partial obedience is total disobedience. Well, sometimes we realize that we cannot be blessed by God because we're not obedient to Him. But I want us to look at something here, because in these same verses, it tells us in verse 8 that if we do these things, if we fear the Lord apart from evil, it will be health to your foot. How many of y'all want to be healthy? Anybody here want to be healthy? Or would you rather be laid up in a bed somewhere? We want to be healthy. Amen? It'll be health to your flesh and strength. How many of you want to have strength? I do. It'll be strength to your bones. And then the very next thing he says is honor the Lord with your possessions. Does that mean only if you have $1 million in the bank? Does it mean if you're driving a Lamborghini? I don't even know what that is. You know, just sounded good. It doesn't say if you've got everything you want, or you got retired and you got all the time. How many of you are busier now being retired than you were before you retired? Some people tell me they have to go back to work so they don't have to work as much. I don't understand that. But anyhow, it says honor the Lord with your possessions. In other words, no matter what you have, God has given it to you. It is on loan from God to you. You are a steward of what God has given to you. How are you honoring God with what you have? What He's trusted with you. What about your children? What about your spouse? What about your home? What about your car? What about the church that you are part of? Are you honoring God with all your possessions? Because it doesn't say with some of your possessions, it just says your possessions. That includes everything. Amen? That's all of them, not some of them, all of them. But then he says, and with the first fruits of some of your income. Is that what it said? It says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. I said income a lot ago, I misspoke. Your increase, all your increase. I'm not saying this, I'm just saying what we try to do with our kids. It didn't matter if somebody gave them birthday money or Christmas money. You know what we encourage our kids to do? Tithe off their birthday gifts. Tithe off their Christmas gifts. But we didn't just tell them to do it, we modeled for them too. If I got a Christmas bonus or pastor appreciation gift or something like that, I tithe off of it. And you say, why would you do that? That's a gift. Because it's also an increase. Amen? And if I have now more than I had before, that means I have increased. And it says to give the first fruits.
Now, illustration here, what are first fruits? Because you're thinking, what is that? Back in Florida, before we had kids, I had a little John Deere tractor, and I'd get out there and I'd plow up me a garden spot. And just about every year, as soon as it got dry enough, amen, I would get out there and I would plow and till it all up, and I'd bed it up, and I'd paint it some pink eyes and some black eyes and some zippers and crowders and every other kind of pea, and I'd plant it some corn and all those stuff that, you know, gardeners do. And as it began to ripen, I couldn't wait to pick the first 5 gallon bucket of peas. Why? Because they were the biggest and the best tasting, and they usually were the ones that hadn't gotten all stung up and rotted yet. Amen? Can I get a witness? Because the next 2 days or 3 days later, they're all going to be stung up and half of them are going to be rotten. That's just the way it goes. Now, when God wants us to give back to Him, He doesn't want us to give back to Him the leftovers. He wants us to give Him of the best, the first. When I think about that, I think about how oftentimes in church ministry, somebody will call you up and say, "Brother Tim, you know, I've got so and so. Can you use that in church?" And I'm okay, yeah. And I go get it. For instance, there was this one time this lady wanted to donate a surround sound system to the church. I said, "Okay, I'll go to the house, pick it up, take it back to the church." And guess what? Every one of the speakers was busted. Now, I'm saying that to make a point here. God expects us to give Him of our best. Why? Because He gives His best to us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good in your life has come from Him. And so why would we not want to give back to Him to honor what He has bestowed upon us? Well, everything you have in life, you've been given to Him, so the question is, are we serving Him with our actions, our possessions, our times, our talents, our finances? Are we doing it with all the increase that He has given to us? Well, you say, well, how do we do that? Well, back in the biblical times, they used what they call the barter system. We kind of still use that same method today. But back then, if you had eggs and somebody needed eggs and you needed a bucket of flour to make your pancakes with or whatever, you would trade your items for their items. Well, today we don't pay everybody in eggs and flour, right? We pay them in the form of a paycheck. And so that is our, what we would call our first fruits. And that's what we are to give back to God with. Well, I want us to look at this other passage, Malachi chapter 3. I made mention a while ago about robbing God, and I noticed some of your eyebrows kind of went sideways and up and down like, Here again, the topic subject of the message today is trust God. If we're not willing to trust God in the simplest of things, how is he gonna bless? How is he gonna do something new if we're not willing to step out in faith and take hold of what He's telling us here? Because in this passage here that we're fixing to read, He says, "Try me in this." In other words, you put me to the test. Now, there's no other place in the Bible that says dares you to trust God. But this is the only place I know of. Some of you might think of another place. I can't. This is the only place in the Bible I see where God says, "Put me to the test. You try me and see." Malachi chapter 3. Look with me. Verses 6 through 11. There's a question because in Malachi, the Lord was full of questions. And He starts out, here it is. That's
the Lord God, I do not change. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? He doesn't require one thing of us today and a different thing tomorrow. Now, as faith might move you in a different direction tomorrow than it does today, but God never changes. He stays the same. He is immutable. He says, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. Aren't you glad God doesn't just judge you every time you sin and say, okay, you're going to hell? Sometimes we live our lives that way, thinking God's just waiting to slam the gavel down on us and be through with us. But God is patient. He is merciful and gracious, and he is forgiving. He says, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to, this is the grace of God. Return to me and I will what? If you ever feel you've gone too far from God, don't let Satan keep lying to you. Don't believe his lies. The Bible says, return to me and I will return to you. Remember the prodigal son? He returned to the father and the father welcomed him. You said, in what ways shall we return? And listen to what the Lord says to him. Will a man rob God? How can you rob God? Well, he goes on. And he says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? And his answer was what? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole generation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me. Remember I said to try and heart? Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the shallow vine fail to bear fruit for you, or fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And you say, well, what does all that mean? Number one, if we're not giving to the Lord what he's required of us, and I know we put 10% because that's what tithe says, 10%. But did you know that if you go back and do a study of the Jewish history, the Hebrew history, that total giving, they gave about 33% of their income back to the Lord. And we complain about 10%. Somebody once said this, well, that was the law. We're under grace now. Well, because we're under grace, shouldn't we be giving even more? Now, I'm not saying that we should just give everything unless that's what the Lord wants us. But what the Lord is saying here, listen, is that the nation of Israel was robbing God. They were holding back what they were giving to him. And the Lord says, now try me in this. Let me prove to you who I am. And not only if you give to me, but I'm going to rebuke the devourer. What does that mean? And I tell you this is how I look at it. The Lord gives me 100%. And you say, well, yeah, I work for it. Well, God gave you the strength and the knowledge to be able to work, right? So he gave it to you one way or the other. He's given you your job. He's given you, provided you a salary. And let's just use $100 a week just to make it easier. Say God gives you $100 a week. And he said, okay, Tim, I want you to give me $10 back. And you say, well, you know, oh, this week's going to be tight, Lord. I don't know if I can make it. And God's saying, trust me. And I'm saying, Lord, I just don't know. I got this bill due and that bill due. And, you know, what if? And the Lord's saying, trust me. Try me. And I'm saying, Lord, I just don't know that I can do that. And you know what the Lord's really saying? He's saying, listen, go ahead and trust me. And that 90% that you still have, that $90 that I still left you with, I can make it where that $90 was stretched to be 100 or more. Because he's saying, listen, I will rebuke the devourer. What does that mean? In times of my life, and I'm just being
crystal clear with you. There has been times in my life where I have decided that I wanted to trust me instead of God. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I just don't have the money this week, so I'm not going to give time. And maybe I paid the bill. I did what was right. I paid the bill. But guess what? Sometime that week, my battery's going down the car, truck, my tire's going to go flat, have a little in. And by the end of the time I've ended up spending money on stuff, guess what? I've been cheaper off to give God his money. And that's just straight up. Because when we hold out on God, he's saying, why should I bless you? Why aren't you trusting me? And we say we trust God. In God we trust. But do we really? When we're concerned about ourselves and instead of trusting God in every area of our lives. When we fail to trust the Lord with all of our hearts, when we fail to rely on his understanding, when we do not acknowledge God in our lives, when we don't allow God to guide us, when we are wise in our own lives, when we don't fear the Lord, when we don't depart from evil, when we don't trust God with our possessions and honor him with them, when we do not keep his ordinance and we don't give back to God what he has asked us to do, then we are robbing God. We're robbing God if we're not giving back to him of everything he has blessed us with. So I wonder why my wife just won't move forward. Well, if you're not giving back to the Lord, if you're not serving him as he has called you to do, it would be like me going outside and taking my head and bashing it against the wall and saying, I wonder why the wall won't fall in. And so I try harder and I hit my head on the wall even harder the next time. And I keep doing it again, thinking the wall's going to fall down. You know what Einstein said? If you keep trying the same thing over and over again, expect different results. That's insane. Some of us need to just take our lives, and maybe we've trusted him for salvation. We've trusted in Jesus Christ. He is God's son. He came born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross. And 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. And he sits now interceding on our behalf at the right hand of God. We believe that and we trust in him for salvation, but are we trusting in him for our daily lives? Are we relying on him? Are we acknowledging him in all of our ways and with everything we have? You see, it's one thing to say you believe. It's one thing to say you trust. But if we're not willing to give back to God, it begs the question of, do I really trust God to begin with? See, it's not about trying harder, it's about living smarter. And I think that's what we as believers realize. The longer we serve the Lord, the more we can trust him. The more I step out on faith, the more I'm willing to step out on faith, because I know if he's carried me through yesterday, he's going to carry me through today, and he's going to carry me through tomorrow. I just have to keep putting my faith and trust in him. I see oftentimes we don't want God to lead us. You know what that means? It means that if we don't want God to lead us and guide us, that means that our hearts have pride in them, because we think we're better than God, we know better than he. Listen to what Proverbs 28, verse 25 and 26 says. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. You want trouble in your life, just be proud. But he who trusts in the Lord will be, what's that say? Prosper. He who trusts in his own heart is a what? Fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. God wants to do something new in our lives, but are we willing to step in faith and do it?
And Proverbs 16:20, listen to what the psalmist says here. Says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he, happy is she. Have you ever walked into church sometimes and y'all don't look at anybody, don't elbow anybody beside you? You walk into church and it looks like half the people ate a lemon. Y'all ever been in that place? I hope not. And I hope we never become that place. Maybe the reason is because they're not trusting in the Lord. Because that verse says, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is she. Happy. What does happy mean? Happy. Glad. That I can trust in the Lord. I can follow him. I know that he knows the way better than I do. I put my faith and trust in him. I allow him to lead me and guide me each and every day in every way. I trust him enough that I'm willing to give back to him. Amen. I'm willing to give back to him and that he's going to take care of me and he's going to provide for me. But I have to trust him. So the question comes back to trusting God. Trusting God. Do we truly trust in him? You see, we need to stop making excuses for our lives and our failures. Right? Take ownership of them. Lord, I messed up. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to follow you. Help me trust in you. When we do fail and we have to try to start over again, that's where grace and mercy of God comes back. When we return to him, he'll return to us. Amen. What the scripture said a while ago. When we take inventory of our lives and see that even if everything is gone, I still have my faith in Jesus Christ and my God and my Father in heaven. And so then I have to step out and act in faith that God has a plan and he wants to show me the way. Now I have to be willing to step off and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you lead, right? And then we need to realize that we're also going to have to refocus our attention because Satan wants to fill our minds with garbage and trash. And well, if you do that, you're just not going to be successful and you're going to fail, and you failed before. So why do we have to refocus our minds and start thinking about the things above, not the things here on earth? Amen. We need to think about the things that are good and wholesome and right and pure and lovely and all those things instead of all the negativity that Satan wants to fill our minds with. Then we need to trust God. God is a God of second chances. That's my definition of grace. He's given me more than I could ever deserve, amen? But he's also given me a chance each and every day that when I fail today or tomorrow or yesterday, that I know that each day I wake up and my Bible tells me his mercies are new every morning. That means I didn't get what I deserve, which is total destruction and separation from God for all of eternity. He has offered that grace to me, but and that mercy to me. But the grace part of it says, listen, when I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, that I then have an opportunity through grace to have another chance. I think Jesus told Nicodemus it was being called born again, right? Born again. That means I can have new life in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I realize my way is not working because the harder I try not to sin, the more I realize I do sin, right? I know that my faith and trust in Christ, he's paid my penalty. He's paid me, paid for everything that I owe as far as the sin debt. And he's looking at me and he says, you're free. Not free to live like I want to live, but free to serve him. because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his forgiveness, he has brought us to the place where we can trust him with everything else in our lives. Why would we not put our faith and trust in him? But then we also realize that it's not just about salvation. It is. But because I'm saved, then I should have the desire to honor him, to serve him, to love him, by loving others. Amen. By serving him, I serve others. By loving him, I'm willing to give. Because, guys, don't forget about this in a few weeks. Valentine's is going to come, so don't forget about getting your loved one a gift, right? Why do we give gifts to people we love? Because we love them. We want to do something for them, right? If you love God, why wouldn't you want to do something for him? See, we show God how we love him, how we love one another, by how we give back, by how we serve each other. Maybe some of us today just need to say, okay, God, I'm giving you my life. I'm trusting you to be my Lord and Savior. Some of us may say, well, I've done that, but I'm just really struggling to give back to God what he asked me to give. Can I just make a personal application here? You're not going to outgive God. You're not going to outgive God. Whatever you give to God, he's going to give back and more. But that's not the reason we should give. We should give because we love, because we're willing to serve him, and because he asked it of us. Some of us need to say, okay, well, you know, I'm giving my tithe, but I'm not really serving the Lord anywhere. Well, maybe you need to ask God where he would have you serve. What would he have you do? Because you show your love to him by how you love others. Jesus made the same statement, right? By this all we'll know you are my disciples if you would have love for one another. I don't know how God wants to use this in your life today, but I pray he'll take it to heart. If you need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, Brother Tim, just show me how. I'll be glad to take time with you during the invitation. If you need to make a commitment, I know you can make a commitment in your pew, but you know what I found? When I make a commitment in the pew, I'm usually not going to carry it out. Because nobody else knows about it. And it doesn't matter that I don't know about it, that anybody else here doesn't know about it, but what matters is that you're making a commitment to the Lord. So I'm going to ask if you will stand with me during this invitation. If you need to give your life to Christ and trust in him, then do so. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Some of us need to be saved. Some of us need to stop robbing God. Some of us need to start serving God. Some of us need to just turn loose and say, okay, God, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of struggling. I want to give you my all. Will you do as the Lord leads you? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be in tune with you, and Lord, that you have spoken directly to each and every heart here. And I pray, Lord, for the one who may be lost, who has never put their faith and trust in you, and if they die today, hell would be their home because they've never placed their faith in you. I pray today, Lord, that they would place their faith and trust in you. I pray, Lord, for those who are saved who just haven't given what they've been told to give. They haven't served you. They haven't tithed. They haven't given offerings. They haven't served you in the ways, Lord, that you would have them to. So, Lord, I pray that whatever area of our lives you're dealing with today, we would all be obedient to you. Lord, that we would just surrender our lives and say, Lord, I trust you. in you. Lord, have